So as we go through the book of Proverbs, of course, we're dealing with the whole subject of wisdom. So what is wisdom? And it's good to actually think about it, because sometimes we think, okay, if I'm smart, I'm wise. But that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is profoundly practical. So wisdom is actually to have skill to live life God's way. And it's a skill that gives one the ability to understand God's morality and have the discernment about how to apply that in everyday life. And I'm sure you'd agree, if there's one thing we really do need, is we need a whole lot of wisdom, because life is not simple. Sometimes we put our foot in it big time, and we pay the price. If only we had wisdom. Now, part of what the book of Proverbs does is it actually helps us not just to understand what I do in this situation or that situation or with this topic or that one, but to understand the heart of what wisdom is. And one of the things that the first 8 chapters does is it explains wisdom or portrays wisdom as what we would call lady wisdom. Wow. I think a lot of people would like that, especially nowadays. It wouldn't be manly wisdom, but lady wisdom. But why does the Bible portray wisdom as lady wisdom in those first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs? And it is to help us understand that wisdom is very nurturing. It is life-giving, like a mother. It is something to seek, to love, and to live in relationship with. It is personal, covenantal, and it's continually inviting us to walk in fellowship and loyalty with the living and loving God. And so when we hear these practical things, it's really an invitation to walk with God, to live with God. We encountered Lady Wisdom the first time in Proverbs chapter 1. And it's then that Lady Wisdom started to issue her invitation. Now in chapter 8, we hear a voice going to a climax. She explains that God's wisdom has been pre-existent. It's always been there. It is the foundation of creation. It's indispensable to life. And she lifts our thinking from just the practical ethical principles of life and raises it up to the very origins of the world itself. Everything came into being by the sovereign wisdom of God. It's woven into the very fabric of our existence. And now Lady Wisdom, who ordered and sustained the whole universe, is calling us to heed her voice. In fact, call is not strong enough, because the sheer weight of wisdom's excellence and essentiality turns a call into a summons of the highest order. If wisdom is woven into the fabric of life, then to ignore wisdom is not going to be harmless. It's going to be self-destructive. Wisdom isn't merely to be admired by the philosophers. It's not merely to be discussed and to be debated and entertained. Wisdom must be heeded. Let's step through Proverbs chapter 8 to grasp the argument and the appeal, the reason she gives and the ramifications she sets before us, all of which adds to this central point. We must be careful to attend to God's wisdom and to act upon it. So let's march through our passage. We're going to do a kind of a fly through to just get a feel of the sense or get a sense of the passage, and then we're going to start to apply it when we get towards the end. So chapter 8 begins with wisdom and understanding. That is moral skill and practical insight. Publicly summoning humanity. She positions herself in the most visible and accessible places, on the heights, at the crossroads, beside the gates, at the entrances to the city. Now, in the ancient world, this meant that she positions herself where people move, where they gather and socialize, where they deliberate and do business, and where they render their judgments and make their decisions. Wisdom, God's wisdom, isn't hidden, secret, and reserved for the elite few. Her call is issued to everyone. She addresses all humanity, and especially the simple and the foolish. Of course, no one thinks that they're one of those. But when we take the Bible seriously, the Bible puts us in our place, cuts us to size, and say, you have a serious problem with pride, and you're foolish. And so she addresses us, urging us to learn practical wisdom and forward thinking. Think about the consequences of what you're doing and where this will be leading you. Since her call is both universal and accessible, we're all accountable for our response. We have no excuse to carry on in ignorance and folly, because wisdom, God's wisdom, is offered to us openly and freely. It's not going to cost you anything. In verses 6 to 11 of Proverbs, we encounter the first set of reasons to heed wisdom. Wisdom speaks noble things. What is right, true, righteous, and straight. Nothing wicked, twisted, or crooked proceeds from her mouth, because it's an abomination to her. The instruction and knowledge that she imparts are better than the finest jewelry. How beautiful is a piece of fine jewelry? Gold and silver. In fact, what she has to offer is better than anything you can desire in this world. And so the contrast is very clear. Folly may promise gain, but wisdom alone delivers what is truly precious. The next section, verses 12 to 21, we are urged to love and earnestly pursue wisdom. Wisdom possesses morally pure and politically essential assets. And all of that is grounded in the fear of God. She brings knowledge and counsel to guide us, forward thinking and discernment to help us make decisions, morally superior skill and practical insight to shape all of our actions. And then she gives us the strength to do what is right. Wisdom is what kings and rulers, princes, nobles need to reign, rule, decree, and govern justly. Think about this. For a stable and flourishing society, you need rulers who rule with wisdom. Yet wisdom isn't merely practical skill or political astuteness. It's rooted in rightly knowing and deeply, deeply revering God. It is a profound hatred of pride, evil conduct, and perverted speech. Nor is wisdom reserved for the royal class. She is offered to all. Whoever chooses, cherishes, and commits to her, seeking her with effort and persistence, will find her. And with her will come riches and honor, wealth, righteousness and justice, an inheritance far more precious than anything the world can offer us. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 to 31, we reach the deepest reason to heed wisdom. And it's this: wisdom comes before all things. She is pre-existent and preeminent. Therefore, she deserves our highest respect and priority. Before there were depths, springs, mountains, hills, fields, and even dust, wisdom was already there. When the Lord God began His work of creation, wisdom was present. Wisdom was by His side as a master craftsman in all His work. When He established the heavens, when He determined the expanse of the waters, when He fixed the skies, wisdom was working. It is by wisdom that He organized the fountains of the deep, set the limits of the sea, and marked out the foundations of the earth. And when He formed this habitable world, including the crown of it all, mankind, the hand of wisdom was actively crafting and shaping everything. And not only did wisdom work masterfully with the Lord delighted in wisdom. And wisdom delights in everything that the Lord does. This is a picture of complete cooperation, intimacy, and shared delight. This universe didn't appear by accident. Nor was it the result of random, mindless processes. It was established by the wise, purposeful, and delightful wise work of God. Wisdom, therefore, it's not an impersonal force. She is personal, relational, in perfect harmony and fellowship with the Lord. And therefore, when we align ourselves with wisdom, we align ourselves with what delights the heart of God. The chapter closes with a climactic appeal. We are urged to listen to wisdom, to keep her ways, not to neglect her instructions. In other words, we are called to live in harmony with the reality that God has ordered. The issue of wisdom is not so much about success versus failure, it's to live life. It's a life and death matter. Those who heed wisdom are blessed and enjoy God's favor. Those who ignore and reject wisdom harm themselves and they love death. When we summarize the teaching of Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is presented to us as publicly calling morally pure, supremely valuable, politically indispensable, relationally bound to God, timeless in existence, active in creation, and decisive for life. And that is why we must heed her call. To heed wisdom is to align with God's moral order, His created design, the path to a blessed and fulfilled life. To reject her is to injure ourselves and to embrace death. Now let me show you, there are four compelling reasons why we must heed wisdom. Wisdom is woven into the structure of reality. You disobey wisdom, you go against reality. So it's an ontological reason for those who like big words. Secondly, wisdom is perfectly pure and right. Reflecting the righteous and truthful character of God, it's completely trustworthy. It's a moral reason. Thirdly, wisdom produces justice, stability, wealth, honor, and flourishing. It teaches us how life truly works and how it's meant to be lived. Wisdom determines life and death. It's not optional, but vital truth. You know what the alternative to wisdom is? Folly and death. So these are our reasons: ontological, moral, practical, and eternal. Our being, our integrity, our flourishing, and our destiny depends on heeding wisdom's voice. And yet Proverbs chapter 8 is pushing us further. There's another reason, a supreme reason, we must obey the voice of wisdom. When wisdom appears as a personal and speaking presence, she calls, invites, reasons, urges, positions herself where people live, work, gather, interact. She was present with the Lord before creation. She was actively involved in creation. Who is this pre-existent companion of the Lord? His active agent in creation. The New Testament leaves us in no doubt. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing, or not anything was made that was made. Lady Wisdom, in Proverbs chapter 8, is nothing other than Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the incarnate reality of divine wisdom. Jesus isn't merely like wisdom. He is wisdom in bodily form. He is the one we must heed. And so when wisdom is calling us in Proverbs chapter 8, it is Jesus calling us to trust and walk with Him who was with God at the beginning and through whom everything was made. Wisdom is not just gaining practical and moral skill or know-how. It is a response to Jesus Himself. The eternal wisdom of God who calls us into a life of fellowship and joy with Him forever. Let's close with some practical applications. If we're going to heed wisdom, then we must trust and follow Jesus, who is the power and wisdom of God, and in whom He's found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But what does it look like in everyday life? Firstly, we must grow in our knowledge of Jesus. As 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this growth obviously includes learning what the Bible teaches about Jesus. Truths so vast and so glorious that a lifetime cannot exhaust them. So we can never outgrow the need to deepen our understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done. But it's not just an intellectual knowledge. It's relational. It's covenantal. That means it's to come into a tight union and bond with him. And it will transform us. The more we know Christ personally, the more we experience his grace. The more we experience his grace, the more intimately we get to know him. And the more this happens, the more gracious we become. In other words, the more like Jesus we become. And we think. And when that happens, the lawlessness and the errors of the world will not be tossing us around anymore. But we're going to have a stability. We're going to have a clarity about us. So we must ask ourselves, are we growing steadily in knowing Jesus? Oh, wow. How much there is to know about him. Growing in understanding of his divinity and his majesty, his humility and his obedience to the Father, his ministry and compassion, his suffering on the cross, his resurrection and reigning in glory, and his promised return. And this was the Apostle Paul's consuming ambition in life. He counted everything as loss because of the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus his Lord. And this longing to know Jesus more and more is captured in a classic hymn, and it goes like this. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. And this can only happen when we spend time in devotion with the Lord, meditating on his word, praying to him. Jesus wants to spend time with us. And there's things that we can only learn from him when we spend time with him. Time alone with him. Time with our Bibles and prayer. And the people who really have wisdom are the people who spend time with Jesus alone in devotion. There's no other way. And so, what we encourage to do is, let's be people who read our Bibles and spend time with our Lord. We need to do it privately, but that's not enough. We also need to be committed to a church where we can be nourished in God's wisdom. Now, I'm going to read a verse, and at first it might not seem to say that, but then we'll explain. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Notice that this command is not given to individuals in isolation. It's given to a gathered group of people. The people of God, the church of Christ. And the church is to let the word of Christ dwell in it with all of its richness. It's like Jesus' word needs to be at home here in our midst, and it needs to fill this room. And it's done through teaching, correction, singing, and thanksgiving. If we're serious about heeding divine wisdom, we must commit ourselves to fellowship in worship in a church where Christ's word features richly and centrally. A casual attending of church and hovering around the edges won't do. But a full belonging and a participating, a sitting under the preaching and an encouraging of one another with Scripture, singing praises to God together, that will do. So let me ask you, is the church that we belong to one where Christ's word truly dwells richly? Is that your experience? I hope it is. Otherwise, you have to fire us. Are we positioning ourselves under the word regularly, expectantly? Are we actively building up the body, speaking the truth in love, and receiving it in turn? Be happy for a brother and sister in Christ to come and correct me. It's in the gathered, word-saturated community that Christ shapes His people, forming and guiding them in His wisdom. So, to heed God's wisdom, we must devote ourselves to knowing Jesus privately, and we must be filled with His word in the church community. We can't stop there. Thirdly, we must actually obey Him. Once we know Him and His will, we must act upon it. Jesus illustrates this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, with the parable of the wise and foolish builders. The wise builder builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against their house, but it didn't fall, because it was founded on the rock. But the foolish man builds his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And how great was the fall. Who is the wise person and who is the foolish one? The wise one hears Christ's words and puts it into practice. The foolish one would hear the voice of Christ, but doesn't obey it. Obedience to Christ is the hallmark of true wisdom. Disobedience is folly. Now, it's one thing to do a foolish thing because you're ignorant. It is yet another thing to go and do a foolish thing when you know what the right and the wise and the good thing is to do. Dear friends, let's respond simply and faithfully to Jesus. When Jesus says, trust me, let's trust Him. When He says, follow me, we follow Him. When He says, don't do this, we refrain. When He says, do that, we obey. These are the basics of wisdom. Wisdom must be heeded. So let us heed it and live. May God make us a wise people.